All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. Now in the show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Wednesday, July 12th. Stocks make new highs for the year. A huge reaction to today's CPI report. Bank stocks take off. Domino's Pizza soars. Also, it's Prime Day. We'll take a look at Amazon. Forgot to do that yesterday, but it's still day two of Prime Day. So we'll look at it, see what's going on there. And we'll review two trades that Marcus took in our mastermind call. Now, as you can see, there's a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading, and I'm running the show by myself today. But on most days, I'm joined by Marcus Heitkorter, who is Rockwell Trading's founder. And as mentioned in previous videos, he's on a bit of a road trip with his daughter, going to a bunch of sailing regattas as she transitions from high school to college. And so he's making some memories before she's off and leaves the nest, so to speak. So I said, hey, you know what? I got this. I have things covered. I love talking about trading, talking about the markets and looking at new opportunities. Appreciate the likes on this video. If you like the channel, please keep the likes coming. And if you're new, please subscribe so you get notified when there are new videos. Now, I promise that you're in good hands. You could say that we have a ton of trading experience. We know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, then you're definitely at the right place. Now, before we dive in and look at our trades and how we're tackling these crazy markets, let's take a look at what's booming the markets today. Let me go ahead and bring up the S&P 500. And look at this, a gap higher, taking out those highs that we had end of June and a push to new highs for the year. So this is the S&P 500 just bursting through the 4,400 level, 4,500. Here we come, up 1% today. And this is a move across the board here. If we look at the Dow up 0.8%, also hitting highs of the year. Looks like if we close at these levels, we'll be at a new close, new high close for the year for the Dow. NASDAQ also soaring up 1.2%. So a big, big day for the markets. What's causing this? Well, CPI data. Let's look at a 5-minute chart here to see the reaction this morning. So here we have the E-mini S&P futures market. And you see here that after things wrapped up yesterday, it was a quiet Asian session, a little bit of a drift higher during the European session. And then this big bar here is the reaction to this morning's CPI data. And as you can see, a huge positive move and reaction, a jump higher, tiny bit of a pullback, and then it's up, up and away so far for the trading session. So what did we see? What did CPI tell us? Looking at the economic calendar, we see that core CPI came in with an increase of 0.2%. Now, this is lower than the previous reading, which was an increase of 0.4%. So that coming down, looking better. The expectation or forecast was 0.3%. So it took lower than expected. This excludes food and energy. That's the core CPI number. And then the CPI number also at 0.2. Tick higher than the last reading, but a tick lower than what analysts forecast. This put CPI year over year at a 3% increase. The 3.1% was expected, and the last reading was 4%. So inflation is coming down. This is the trend that the Fed wants to see. This is the trend that we need to see for the Fed to lighten up on their rate hike campaign. They say that the work and the job is not over. Their target is 2%, and it could be tricky to get it back down to 2%, at least in a fast way. But over time, this is the type of data that the Fed and traders want to see. So better than expected. And if we go to the Fed CME group, FedWatch tool, we could see where probabilities stand looking at potential rate hikes. Let me go ahead and refresh this. So the next meeting 14 days, 2 hours, 54 minutes, and 53 seconds away. We see that the current probability is really the same as it was before, that the Fed will raise a quarter point at 92.4%. This is priced into the market. If we look at future probabilities, now this has changed a little bit. So before, we were looking at maybe even keeping rates the same out to May, definitely March. Right now, this is a little bit mixed. Even the January meeting, right now the probability is after the hike in July that's priced into the market that's expected. We stay at this elevated level. The January meeting, though, we see 34.8% that there's a quarter point drop from where we might be after the July meeting, a 41.4% probability that we stay the same. So this is a bit mixed. And then the probabilities favor a drop in March, a drop in May, and you could see what goes on from here. So it looks like numbers are looking good for the Fed, which means that they probably don't need to go up 2 increases or a half point. And that was on the table. That was being discussed. So traders liking the idea of, hey, we got this one quarter point hike priced into the market in July. Let's expect that one, but probably not going to need the next hike if the data still supports that, and probably starting to decrease rates a little bit sooner than we expected after the information that was presented at the last Fed meeting. So traders loving it. Markets moving higher, up almost 1% across the board. NASDAQ leading the way. Dow just a little bit under 1% higher, but a real, real nice move here. And markets loving it. Now, let's talk a little bit about some individual markets. And I mean, bank stocks are just taking off. JP Morgan up 1.2%. Now, JP Morgan has earnings that will be released before the market opens on Friday. So JP Morgan and other big banks kicking off earnings season on Friday. We do have earnings for Delta Airlines and also Pepsi on Thursday, but the unofficial kickoff for earnings season is Friday, and JP Morgan, one of the biggies reporting. So nice little rally for JP Morgan going into earnings. Now, JP Morgan, yesterday they received an upgrade from Jefferies. The stock was upgraded from hold to buy. So this, thanks to a strong balance sheet and higher fees. The analyst there at Jefferies said, while JPM has been an absolute and relative outperformer in 2023, its combination of balance sheet strength, strong liquidity positioning, and best-in-class earnings generation potential continue to position the bank well. So if you look at JP Morgan, I mean, this has definitely been the case. Here we see that March banking crisis, and then the news that JP Morgan was the winner of that bank that was having issues. I can't remember which one it was. Was it SVB? Maybe not. There were a couple. But anyway, nonetheless, look at this. JP Morgan clearly trading above where we were even before the bank crisis that took place in March. JP Morgan looking pretty strong. Earnings coming out on Friday. So we'll see if there's a buy the news, sell the fact, or a sell-off or profit-taking after earnings. That's to be seen. But right now, JP Morgan just moving higher. Banks in general looking pretty good. Let's look at Bank of America. Bank of America, you see, up 1.9%. So Bank of America leading the overall market. Actually, let's go to PowerX Optimizer, and or beating the overall market, that is. Let's look at a heat map. And you could see just a sea of green here, the Magnificent Seven higher, everything higher, a couple of healthcare stocks in the red here, maybe a couple of industrials. But for the most part, it's a broad market rally, and there's a nice participation across the board. Financial services, JP Morgan, we talked about Bank of America, Wells Fargo up 1.9%, Visa up 1%, MasterCard up 1%. American Express up 1.5%, and Hey, we might as well look at one that we've been talking about since March. That is PNC. So I am currently in PNC. Marcus is as well. A nice little jump this morning. Right now up 1.9%. This is, you know, we need this to break through these recent highs. Right now flirting with those highs. I was looking at selling calls today. My cost basis is 136. My break-even is 134.55. So not able to sell calls right now, but it's getting close. We just need a little more momentum to the upside getting through this. But overall, a nice day for banks. Investors liking this news for banks because banks are beating the overall market. Let's take a look at another market mover. Let's look at Domino's Pizza. DPZ is the ticker symbol. Look at Domino's. Whether you like the pizza or not, doesn't matter. Investors like this news here, up 10.3%. They're higher after announcing that they reached an agreement with Uber. The deal will allow customers to order Domino's menus right through Uber Eats and Postmates in the U.S., the United Kingdom, and Canada. The partnership is going to begin in 4 markets in the U.S. in the fall before expanding throughout the nation by the end of the year. Traders loving this. You see Domino's getting back up to 400 right now at 386.88, but trading back at levels that we haven't seen since November of last year. So after a bit of a hiccup 2 earnings ago, Domino's having a super nice day, up 10-11%. Domino's looking pretty good. Let's take a look at Amazon for the heck of it. So Amazon has its famous Prime Day deals going on. Yesterday was the first Prime Day. Today is the second, and wrapping things up. Yesterday, Amazon opened with a little fanfare, but actually finished the day up 1.3%. Here we see right now up 0.75%, but really not really outperforming the overall market. So, you know, is Prime Day something that traders are pricing in right now, liking it, reacting to Prime Day? Or is Prime Day already priced into this based on expectations previously? And that's kind of my thought here. Just like the, you know, Apple Appreciation Days and their you know, the events that they do. A lot of times, new traders think, oh my gosh, the stock's going to soar when they release this new product. But a lot of investors and institutions are actually buying before that information, and then either holding the positions or selling to take profit, right? I mean, that makes sense. And instead of thinking that, hey, you know, something special, let's go ahead and buy Amazon now because it's Prime Day. Anyway, look at Amazon T, just kind of hitting resistance here, stalling, starting to go sideways here. Not exciting for me as a wheel trade just because I don't see strong support, but after a really strong year, just kind of going sideways and not really doing a lot. Hey, a little off topic, but have you found any good Prime Day deals? Post it in the comments. I'm always one for a great deal. It's interesting. When Prime Day first started, I was all over it. I was buying a bunch of crap I didn't need. And I thought it was great. The last couple of years, I don't know if the deals aren't the same, or if the novelty of it wore off a little bit. But let me know if you found something that's just awesome, or if there's a great deal still going on. Feel free to post it in the comments. I'm curious. All right, moving on. Let's go back to PowerX Optimizer. Talked about PNC. Both Marcus and I are in this one. Now, I still have MRO puts. I'm trying to close as at 90%. My plan, hey, if I could close a put at 90% of the maximum profit up until the last day of expiration, I'm going to go ahead and do that. On the last day of expiration, I'll just let it expire. In fact, you know, on this one, I'm inclined to just, because I do have some buying power, I was hoping actually for a negative reaction to CPI, so I could scoop up some nice opportunities and then get some nice follow through and upside. But right now, with the extra buying power, I might just take that closing order off, break my plan rules, just let the option expire. I've sold the 22, so if there's a big reversal, which is unlikely at this point, then the 22 strike and getting assigned there on Friday, I'd be happy to own shares at of MRO at 22. Right now, it's 24.73. I think that the odds there are slim, and even if we look at the expected move here, which I have right now based on current options prices and where the stock's trading, on the downside, options are pricing in a move of 24.27 at the lower end. This is one standard deviation within this upper and lower expected move. If we look at even next Friday, right, I've sold the put expiring this Friday, but even next Friday's options are pricing in a lower range right now of 23.83. So the idea is that, hey, there's about, you know, approximately for those of you that are totally up on statistics, which I appreciate. I think it's great, but let's just round it, keep it simple. 85% probability will stay above this level by the end of the week based on the current stock price and the pricing of options. So getting down to 22 right now, unlikely. Because I don't need the buying power, I'm inclined to take that order off, take a couple extra bucks and just let it expire worthless. Although my plan typically is let it, you know, have that order in the market, close at 90% up until expiration day. On expiration day, take it off, let it just expire worthless or get assigned. So might go a little bit against my rules. Not something I usually do. All right. So Marcus got out of his Oxy trade with the same rule yesterday. So he's out of that one. But he did take two trades. Let's go ahead and share two trades that Marcus put on yesterday. Let's first look at CTRA, because CTRA is a trade that he's been in for a while, and CTRA has worked out very well for him. So CTRA, even though there were many times where the stock dropped outside of the range that he was assigned at to be able to sell calls, CTRA all year long has just had this nice trading range between $23 and $26 a share. Marcus has owned shares at $26. I was in this for half of the first half of the year, decided to get called away at $26 before it dropped again, but it's rallied right back. Marcus was able to sell calls. He actually sold calls for 20 cents yesterday, which was really nice ROI based on a $26 stock. And based on the premium that was available to collect through the end of the week, right now, though, CTRA at $26.55. So if anybody owns CTRA, if you're assigned at, you know, $26 or lower or $26.50 or lower, and you haven't sold calls and you trade the wheel or you like trading covered calls, there's some nice premium here right around $26.50. Marcus sold the $26 yesterday as it started to rally, but it has continued to move higher. So we'll see if he finally has his shares called away by the end of the week, if he has an opportunity to roll them, or if CTRA retreats and ends up closing below 26 by the end of the week. Still a lot of trading left. All right, so a new one that Marcus took yesterday, ABBV. So ABBV popped up on the scanner. Now, short term, there was a negative earnings reaction back in April and a little bit of a downtrend here, right? We're breaking through support. We're making lower lows. However, since the very beginning of June, we've had this really nice range between 132 and maybe 139. If we look back, so the lowest close indicator that we have here in PowerX Optimizer says, hey, the 133 might be a good strike or lower because you know, how we read this, there's blue coloring, which means it's a better strike or a little more conservative. When it's orange, it's a little more aggressive because of some volatility. And the idea would be let's consider this or lower if we're trying to identify a strike to sell. Now, if you look a little further back, you see that the 134 here, possible support back here, 132 again. So we've had some decent ranges in ABBV. Marcus sold the 132 put yesterday. So open lower, dipped a little bit, has since rallied. Now, ABBV does have a dividend that's coming out this week. Actually, I don't see it in PowerX Optimizer, so let's go back over to TradingView. So ABBV goes ex-dividend on Thursday with a dividend of $1.48. So what does this mean? It means that if you're the shareholder on record on Thursday morning at the open, then you're entitled to that $1.48 dividend. So Mark is selling puts. He's not entitled because he doesn't own shares, right? So he's not going to get this dividend. But what's expected to happen is that the stock will move based on that dividend payment. So because that dividend is not available to shareholders on that date or beyond that date, now there's another quarter before another dividend gets paid if they continue to pay dividends. But you know, typically dividends are paid quarterly. My point is the stock is expected to drop by $1.48. So right now the stock is trading at $1.36. Let's just round it. The stock will, in theory, trade at about $1.35 based on where we're at right now. That $1.32 still protected, still looks good. But just be aware of that when you do have a dividend coming up. It could look like there's a fantastic dividend and you think it's just free money. Not the case, but if it's a good stock, a stock that you want to own shares on, a dividend getting paid is a bonus in my opinion. But I wouldn't trade just for these crazy dividends. I want to bring up Zim as an example. This is one that we encourage traders in our mastermind group to stay away from. Back here, you see that it was actually looking pretty good. And look at this craziness. On March 22nd, there was a $17 dividend that was paid. So if you were the shareholder on record on March 22nd, you were entitled to that $17. Well, look what happens to the stock. It gaps down. And actually, for other reasons, it continues to slide. Now, back here, there wasn't a $17 dividend. But on Friday, May 27th, there was a $2.85 dividend and the stock dropped, went sideways a little bit, continued to slide. They've adjusted their dividend. Here's another dividend payment, $4.75. That's a fantastic dividend for a $48 stock. Well, look what happens. Stock drops after the dividend actually continues to slide. So the bottom line is I think dividends are fantastic. And in our mastermind group for long-term portfolio growth, we talk a little more about dividend investments. But for short-term active trading and the portfolio that I trade with the wheel strategy, the dividend to me is a bonus. It's not a primary reason to put the trade on because it essentially gets priced into the stock, right? The stock will essentially drop. So if it's a great stock and you're in at a great price, the dividend's a nice bonus, but I wouldn't trade solely for the dividend as an active trader trading the wheel strategy. Anyway, we went a little bit longer on this one, but thought it was a good topic. And Marcus did take that ABBV trade. We will see what happens next. So tomorrow morning, PPI, the producer price index being released, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 on the West Coast. We'll see if that supports lower prices as well, just like CPI data, or if there is a PPI surprise. Until then, hey, happy trading, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.